Maybe you noticed that a few weeks ago, everybody in our culture was kind of going crazy. There was a little earthquake around New York, which never happens. And then right after that, there was this thing going on, right? The solar eclipse. And so at least what I was seeing on Twitter and other social platforms, I don't know, I got into a bad algorithm or something, was these are sure and certain signs that Jesus is coming back any second now. There's never earthquakes in New York and the solar eclipse. It has to mean that Jesus is coming. Let me give you a pastor pro tip right off the top here today, okay? If you're a part of a movement or you're following someone who says they know when Jesus is coming back, you're a part of a cult, okay? It truly is that simple because nobody knows the day or the hour. I had a Jehovah's Witness neighbor when I lived in Florida, and I was like, what number are y'all on now for the times you've said Jesus is coming back again and you've been wrong? I think it's like 22 times. Stop trying to figure it out, okay? And the truth is, followers of Jesus, we've been wondering about this from the moment that he ascended to be with his Father. And like lots of other Christian doctrines, there's a variety of views when it comes to the end times. But it's pretty interesting that for like the first 1700 years of Christianity, it was all really simple. It was kind of like this. Jesus ascended to be with his Father. He's going to come back again someday. Everybody's going to know it. It's going to be real obvious. The day of the Lord, it's there in the Old Testament, there in the New Testament. He's going to raise everyone to be judged, the living and the dead. There's going to be the sheep and the goats, and he's going to usher in his new, renewed, and restored creation where we will live for all eternity. But the day and the hour is unknown, so live expectant lives. Be ready, because you don't know when it's coming. Well, over the years, lots and lots of different ideas about the end times have grown, and I think people land in one of two camps today. The first camp is what I call the overly obsessed camp. And these are the folks that assign everything that happens in this world to being another sign of prophecy or something in the Bible that's showing that this is happening. You know, this government did this, and there was this earthquake there, and there's a war over here, and there's a blood moon, whatever a blood moon is, and it all needs to be connected to everything in Scripture. And people just kind of go nuts about this. And the end times becomes central, so central, in fact, that almost everything else is forgot. Now, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is total apathy, okay? Like, really? It's been 2,000 years. You think he could actually come today? Like, come on, he's not coming today. And it makes our lives so less exciting when we live in apathy. And it makes the work that we do as ambassadors of Jesus just kind of an afterthought if we don't really expect him to be coming at any moment. Because if he was coming at any moment, do you think we might live a little bit differently? Do you think we might major in some of the things that matter a little bit more and let some of those things that don't matter so much kind of slip off because they're not that big of a deal? Well, as we think about Jesus coming back again, the natural question is, where did he go? Where did Jesus go? So in Luke's writing in Acts chapter 1, he talks about the ascension of Jesus, and the disciples are there, and Jesus kind of floats off to be with his Father. But one thing we need to understand is that in that culture, they didn't have a three-level view of the universe like we do, where you kind of have heaven on top and hell is below and earth is sandwiched in between. That's often how we think of it. And so we think that Jesus floated off up into space somewhere to heaven. But the truth is, Jesus just went to be with his Father. And we don't know exactly where that is, okay? But he went to be with his Father. I love how Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8. Christ Jesus died for us, good news. He was raised to life for us, even better news. And now he's sitting in the place of honor. Where? Say it with me. At God's right hand. And he's pleading there for us. And so Jesus right now is, he's with the Father, wherever that is, whatever that dimension is, our minds can't comprehend it. And he is coming again. And I had so much fun with this, and you're allowed to take out your phones if you want to take some pictures, because I'm going to give you like a million Bible verses right now. I went through a bunch of the New Testament, because whenever I'm reading through it, this always grabs me of how expected they were of Jesus coming again at any moment, okay? They weren't apathetic, but they also weren't obsessed, and this is what I want you to take away today, but they lived with expectancy, and that shaped how they lived as they waited. So I'm going to just throw a few verses at you, okay? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, let me say this, dear brothers and sisters, the time that remains is very, what? Short. Let everyone see that you are considerate. This is a verse you might want to tape up somewhere, you know, that you see it every moment of your life. As you go about your day, let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming when? Soon. Okay, I'm seeing a pattern here. Jesus, the half-brother, or James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes this, you too must be patient, take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. Don't freak out about that. An Antichrist is anyone who is against Jesus. From this we know that the last hour has come. Oh my gosh, like it's right here. It's upon us. John writes in Revelation, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. And Jesus himself says in Revelation 22, look, I am coming soon. Peter talks a bit about this. If you miss these slides and you want them, just email me. I'll send them to you. Peter says this, the end of the world is coming soon. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. And so the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some people believe. So think about this, like 30, 40 years after Jesus had ascended, there were already people saying, why hasn't he come back yet? Why is he being so slow? But here's the reason he hasn't come back. It's because he's patient. He's patient. Not wanting anyone to be destroyed, but wanting everyone to repent. And so as those first followers of Jesus waited for his return, they were not apathetic. They were not obsessed, but they were expectant. And it shaped how they lived their lives. And so now I want to spend some time in these crazy words from 1 Thessalonians that so many people have dove into, however you say it, somebody will correct me afterwards, and made all kinds of big deals and theologies out of really simple words that Paul gives to us so that we have clarity and hope about what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. So I'm going to read these words to you again. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know. Okay, we don't want it to be a secret. We want you to know, like, it's not hard, right? It's not super complicated. You don't have to know, like, every part of this and that, and when this is happening over there, and blah, blah, and then you'll have an understanding. No, he says, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so you will not grieve like people who have no what? Hope. So here was the deal. People were dying, and this is after Jesus has ascended, and they've expected Jesus to come back, and he hasn't come back yet. And so the people in Thessalonica are saying, what happens to those folks who have died while we were waiting for you to come again, Jesus? And they were really concerned about it. Their hearts were hurting because they were losing loved ones, and they didn't know what was going to happen to them. And so Paul says, I want to be really clear about this, so that you don't grieve like people who have no hope. Friends, we've all seen people who grieve with no hope for what is to be, without the sure and certain hope of the resurrection that Jesus brings into our lives. And there is nothing more heartbreaking than to see people grieve without hope. And so Paul says, I want you to know. I want you to be certain so that you can have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. And so Jesus is going to do what? Return. He's coming back. And when he comes back, who is he bringing with him? Those who have died. So what that says to us is believers who have died, and all throughout this section of scripture, that word died literally means fallen asleep. Those who have fallen asleep, they are with Jesus right now at this very moment. And when he comes again, and we don't know how time works in God's mind, but when he comes again, he's going to bring them with him. The word return, it's kind of an interesting end time word. It's parousia, and people have made all kinds of big deal out of it. It simply means to be present. And it was used to talk about when a god would mysteriously be present or a king would mysteriously show up. And so it makes sense that Paul uses this word here. What he's saying is your God and your king is going to mysteriously be present with you again. That he's coming back. And we want you to know that your loved ones, those who believed in Jesus, they're safe with him right now. You don't have to worry. You can have that hope even as we wait. He continues on. We tell you this directly from the Lord. That's kind of cool, isn't it? Not like, hey, we're kind of making this up or we think this is how it's going to go. But no, this comes directly from what Jesus has taught us. That we who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Do you see anything secret about his return there? It's obvious, isn't it? Like he's coming and you're going to know it. The trumpet call of God, a commanding shout of the archangel. Dead people busting out of their graves. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. This beautiful moment when the resting soul of someone who's passed in faith is connected to their resurrected body for all eternity. I have no idea what it's going to look like, okay? Next week is redemption of the body, and Jake's going to answer all your questions, all right? We have no idea what that moment's going to be like, but we know it's going to be incredible. And Paul says, so here's the order of things. Those who have gone ahead of you, first, they're going to be connected to their resurrected body. And then here's where things get kind of crazy, okay? That's where they get a little bit nuts. Then together with them, so those who are living when Jesus comes back, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And it's from this verse that we've gotten the teaching of this rapture, that believers will be raptured away and taken away. But did you notice in the verses before, both those who have gone ahead of us and those who are here, like everybody's going to be raised at that time. Then we will go and meet him in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. And this is where we get, you know, ideas of being in the clouds forever with Jesus, right? And see, it says it right there that we'll be caught up in the clouds, and that's what heaven is going to be, up in the clouds, because it's there that we'll be with the Lord forever. But here's where I need you to listen. If you're sleeping, you can wake up. Just give me 2 minutes of your time. That's all I need. That word meet, I put it in red because it's really important. It's a technical word that was used to describe when a king would come home from victory. And when the king would come home from victory, everybody in town would run out to meet the king. And they would greet the king outside of the city to welcome the king back home. They wouldn't stay there outside of the city, but they would greet him and welcome the king back home. And so we'll be caught up on the clouds to greet our victorious King Jesus. But he's coming back home. He's coming to his renewed and restored creation. He's making heaven and earth together as one in that moment. And it's there, as Revelation 21 says, that he will be present. Parousia. He will be present with his people for all eternity. He will be our God, and we will be his people. So encourage one another with these words. Don't confuse one another with these words. Don't read stuff into the text that isn't there in these words. And so today, y'all, I give you freedom. I give you freedom when it comes to the second coming of Christ. To not have to freak out about it, but also not to be apathetic about it. But instead to live expectantly. It's what we see Jesus saying in John chapter 5. Don't be surprised, he says. Indeed, the time is coming when the dead, all the dead in their graves, will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. Oh, so it is based on our good deeds then, Jesus. That's not what he's saying, okay? Good deeds are the result of our faith. As those kids sang, only Jesus can change our heart. And a few verses before this, Jesus says these beautiful words, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me, they have what? Will get it or have it? That wasn't very good. Will get it or have it? Have it. You have it right now. You've already passed from death to life. So live like that. Live like that as you wait. Live your identity as a child of God. Live as someone who has been saved. Because that's who you are, and it changes everything as we wait. Paul writes these words in the expectation of the return of Jesus. I love this. He says, never be lazy. Never be lazy, but work hard. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. This is like my life verse, I think, if I have one of them. Like, get after it. Live expectantly. He's coming back. We got work to do, making the world more like it was in the beginning and more like it will be when he comes back. Don't be lazy. Don't be apathetic. Don't be obsessed, but live expectantly. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. That's a continuing action. Like, keep on praying every moment of your life. And it doesn't have to be big words. It's a conversation in your heart and in your life with your Creator. Friends, it moves us. It moves us to be different. Love these words from N.T. Wright. People who believe that Jesus is already Lord and that he will appear again as judge of the world are called and equipped to think and act quite differently in the world from those who don't. See, when Jesus comes back as judge, that's a good thing. Because when he comes back as judge, he's going to make every wrong right. Every justice that you've been seeking after in your life will be given. Every hurt will be undone. Our anxiety, our depression, our brokenness will all be shifted into shouts of joy. And so we live enthusiastically and we work hard because we do it for Jesus. Last night about 5:15, I got a text message and said, Pastor Tom, can you give me a call? And in my heart, I knew it wasn't good. So I said to Stephanie, I just got this text. Will you be praying? So I called Mike, He says, "Pastor Tom, Oliver passed away suddenly. And Oliver was an 8-year-old boy who would always sit in his wheelchair right over there by Barb and Tony. He had cerebral palsy. But Oliver was filled with joy, y'all. And he loved loud music. No complaining about loud music today. His favorite was the trumpet right in his ear. And every time we would sing the song, 'I Am a Child of God,' with groans of joy, he would shout out to his Savior. He would cry out to Jesus. And today, we are filled with hope because he's with Jesus. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to raise Oliver's body to be glorious like his. And for all eternity, he's going to reign with Jesus in his heavenly kingdom, in the new heavens and in the new earth. And so our hearts are broken, but we are filled with joy because we've been surprised by hope. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We honor you. I've already spoken too long today, but may the words that came out of me today in some way humbly impact us, Lord, and draw us closer to you as we expectantly wait for your return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.